They call it running a business for a reason, because every day feels like a sprint to the finish. But with Clover and Merchant One, you're always one step ahead. Accept payments, run your business, and sell more. Clover plus Merchant One, better business solutions. Go to clover.com/M1 to get started.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Thursday, July 13th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Federal Trade Commission Chair Lina Khan is taking on the world's biggest tech companies and losing, at least in court. The agency was dealt another blow earlier this week when a judge rejected its bid to block Microsoft's purchase of gaming company Activision Blizzard. But the courts aren't the only avenue for the FTC to try and rein in big tech. Our enforcement reporter Dave Michaels will join us to explain the other tracks the agency can pursue. Plus, imagine if going to driver's ed was more like the film Mad Max. We'll explain why, for self-driving cars, it is. First, though, hackers linked to China have breached email accounts at more than 24 organizations, including U.S. government agencies, according to researchers at Microsoft and U.S. officials. The attack is being viewed as part of an espionage campaign that could have potentially compromised valuable information, people familiar with the matter said. For more on this, we're joined by our cybersecurity reporter, Dustin Volz. Dustin, what do we know about how this attack was carried out?
Well, candidly, we don't know a whole lot. It's early stages on determining exactly what happened here, and the details from Microsoft and government officials are not filling in the entire picture for us. But what we do know, based on what Microsoft has said publicly, is that the hackers appear to have gained access to the email systems of targeted victims by essentially forging digital tokens that are used to authenticate the users of their products. And so when you're able to sort of forge a token, you can essentially put on a disguise and pretend to be someone that you're not. And the systems in place to keep others out don't recognize you necessarily as foreign traffic or someone who doesn't belong there.
The hackers are believed to have links to China. How did researchers determine that that was the case?
There's a variety of ways that researchers can determine or attribute who is responsible for a hack. It's not an exact science, but there's sort of known indicators of compromise where, you know, you see sort of fingerprints that look like something that a hacker has previously pulled off, and you're able to sort of cross-correlate and cross-reference details. Sometimes it's a matter of the timing of when espionage is occurring. You know, if they're able to detect that hackers are in their network at certain hours of the day that align with Chinese business hours, for example, that can be a clue. Additionally, you know, one of the most telling clues can often be what they're specifically looking for. A Chinese hacker would typically be much more interested in searching for information about foreign policy related to China than other potential hackers who might be trying to infiltrate the State Department or other government agencies.
What has China said about these accusations?
So officials in Beijing are, as they have done in the past, denying the allegations and pointing the finger instead at the United States. A foreign ministry spokesman there said that the U.S. was the world's biggest hacking empire and global cyber thief, and saying that the report from Microsoft is based on information from the U.S. government and is essentially not credible.
All right, that was our reporter, Dustin Volz. Now, you may feel like you're seeing more and more self-driving cars on the road. Certainly, there are a lot on the streets of San Francisco. But the bulk of autonomous vehicle testing happens in simulations, not in the real world. With Google's self-driving unit Waymo alone saying it has logged billions of simulated miles. The reason for this is that cars need to be able to handle the worst that drivers and pedestrians have to offer. So, those video game-like worlds are increasingly filled with jaywalkers and distracted drivers, forcing the AI behind the wheel to make split-second life-or-death decisions. WSJ tech columnist Christopher Mims says it's paying off.
And the reason that we are finally getting truly autonomous vehicles is that they have just put them through the absolute worst that other drivers and pedestrians and road users have to offer. So it's really important that autonomous vehicles be able to handle the trickiest situations, the so-called edge cases that have tripped them up, that have led to accidents in self-driving systems. So part of what they do is they take these self-driving vehicles and they really make them run the gauntlet and just put them through. It's like the Mad Max driving school. Every driver's the worst. Every pedestrian and cyclist is the most aggressive. Just random things are happening. They put all those scenarios into these simulations and they make the cars run them over and over again until they can handle them with the least injury.
After the break, the Federal Trade Commission has been trying to take on big tech, but its efforts in court haven't been successful yet. We'll explain why and what else it might try when we come back.
They call it running a business for a reason, because every day feels like a sprint to the finish. It takes a lot of work to make it all work. But with Clover and Merchant One, you're always one step ahead. Now is the perfect time to upgrade your point of sale technology. We make it easy to accept payments, run your entire business, and sell more. Clover plus Merchant One, better business solutions. Go to clover.com/M1 to get started.
On Tuesday, a federal judge ruled that Microsoft can close its $75 billion acquisition of video game publisher Activision Blizzard. The Federal Trade Commission plans to appeal the ruling, but the decision was a blow to the agency and its chair, Lina Khan. She's been a vocal critic of big tech and has tried to take on the industry's growth since taking over the FTC in 2021. Over the last 2 years, though, the agency has a track record of losing its bids to stop acquisitions by big tech giants. WSJ legal enforcement reporter Dave Michaels has been looking into this and joins me now. So, Dave, can you just remind us about Khan's position on big tech?
She is a critic of big tech's expansion over the past decade and the government's decision really not to challenge a lot of their deals and a lot of their growth. She came to prominence based on a Law Review article she wrote several years ago about Amazon.com, and that article really made the case that what she saw as old-fashioned thinking in antitrust law had failed to challenge Amazon's dominance.
As chair of the FTC, what has she done then to take on big tech?
Well, there's three tracks, but one is she is challenging their deals. When they buy smaller companies that give them a foothold in a new and growing industry, she has intervened and sued to try to block the transaction, arguing that it would violate antitrust law. And so far, she has tried that with both Meta, the owner of Facebook, and more recently with Microsoft.
And how have those cases worked out in the courts for the FTC?
Well, she lost the Meta case. The theory that the FTC presented to a court in the Meta case was a theory that they don't use very often. The court there said, the theory is okay, but you don't have the evidence to back it up. The court there declined to stop Meta's purchase of this virtual reality company. In the Microsoft case, the theory that the FTC used is a little more standard, but again, they lost.
Can you tell us a little bit more about those legal theories and why take a different approach than the agency has in the past?
Well, I mean, her view is that courts have grown too narrowly focused on consumer prices as the indicator of whether there is a lack of competition or there will be a harm to competition as a result of consolidation. She says the law should properly consider a lot of other factors, including sort of effect on workers and diminished innovation. But her approach to this is the law is not hyper-technical and is not obsessed with doing economic exercises to arrive at a prediction of future prices. She thinks the law says more simply that, you know, mergers are generally not good for competition. And so there should be sort of a presumption that they're not legal and the courts should take a more skeptical view.
Can you tell us about the other tracks, the other methods that the FTC has been using to take on big tech?
Yeah, so in addition to challenging deals, the FTC can bring cases that challenge what you think of as monopolies. And the journal has reported that the FTC is expected to file that kind of a lawsuit against Amazon relatively soon over Amazon's e-commerce business practices. They're also waging a similar lawsuit like that against Meta over their social media business. And one of the things the FTC is seeking is for Meta to unwind the acquisition of Instagram. So they have that channel. They also have the channel where they can write regulations. They don't write as many rules as other federal agencies that you might think of, like the Securities and Exchange Commission, but they can write rules. And they have proposed one competition rule so far. It's very controversial. It affects employment agreements that employers make with workers.
So what do these legal setbacks, but also these other avenues for setting rules against big tech, mean for the FTC's wider strategy going forward?
They've definitely suffered some early setbacks, but you may see them refine their legal arguments and the cases that they pick going forward. Some lawyers told me that decades ago, the FTC had a really hard time opposing hospital mergers. They lost a lot of cases in a row. And what they did was pull back, try to study and better understand the effect of hospital consolidation, and then start over again. And they started winning those hospital merger cases. And now they still bring those cases and they win them. So perhaps what we'll see is them pull back a little bit and try to think through how to do some of these tech deal cases that are not your standard horizontal merger case where you're putting two competitors together. But it's worth keeping in mind that Lina Khan is an appointee of the Biden administration. The first term of the Biden administration runs out in a little more than a year. So I don't think that she can retrench, pull back, and study too long.
All right, that was our reporter, Dave Michaels. And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.